setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is the Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, Ken Coleman.
I'm coming to you live from Ramsey Studios in Nashville, and you're joining a conversation about who you are, what you were created to do, where you want to do it, and how you can get there. It is all about you figuring out your purpose. This is not political talk radio. We're talking purpose in your life and work. We have a specific focus on doing work that you were created to do because you were created to contribute. Somebody out there needs you to be you. And so we think that Monday mornings ought to be reclaimed. It's not misery because we got to go through some drudge, you know, the sludge, you're just kind of slogging through the work week to try to get to Friday. That is a mindset of I work to live. I just got to knock out the paycheck and try to get through it. See if I can make it through 40 years. No. That's what a lot of people end up facing. But there are more and more men and women. And hopefully we're starting a movement here where we say, you know what? Life is too short to live for the weekend. I was created to fill a unique role. That means I'm needed. And it means I must do it. That's the mindset we want. Because then men and women are on purpose. And you talk about making the world a better place. You wouldn't believe what would happen in our world if we had men and women that were on fire, fulfilling their purpose in large part through their contribution, through what they can create, their work. So if that sounds good to you, come on. We have seven stages. What stage are you in? Get clear, get qualified, get connected, get started, get promoted, get the dream job, give yourself away. How do you get to the next stage? Wait, kid, I got a lot to figure out. You got the answers. It's my job to pull them out of you. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Let's get after it. Susie leads us off from Tampa, Florida. Susie, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, it's good to talk to you. I'm a little nervous.
Well, it's good to talk to you, and don't be nervous. I'm going to take good care of you. I promise.
Well, I know you will. I've been applying to several jobs for several months now, and I've just had no luck. And then I read your book, and I changed my resume, and I did all the exercises, and all of a sudden, I am having callbacks.
Yeah.
And so I'm really thankful for that. I have an interview set up in a couple days, and this is an organization that I believe in, and it's a role that I have a great skill set, and it will be a great fit, so I don't want to mess this up.
Yeah.
My question is, it's a Zoom interview, and I'm wondering, you know, I plan on studying your interview guide between now and then, but I'm wondering if you have any advice in how maybe a Zoom video interview might be different than an in-person one.
Okay, great. And then if you could, Susie, see if you can adjust your phone maybe closer to your mouth, and let's see if that sounds better.
Okay, is this any better?
Oh my gosh, it's great. Okay, I heard everything you said, but I just wanted it to be as clear as possible. Okay, so here's the deal. Couple things. One thing that I heard in what you just set up with me is that you're like, I don't want to screw this up. And if you think about not screwing it up, you're going to end up screwing something up. It's the idea that we see this in sports a lot, right? Sports psychology, I've read a lot of this stuff. But if I told you, Susie, whatever you do, Susie, do not think about pink elephants right now. Do you hear me, Susie? Do not think about pink elephants. Susie, are you thinking about pink elephants? Don't. I don't want you to think about pink elephants. What are you thinking about right now?
Pink elephants.
Yeah, it's amazing how that works. So just a fun little tip. Change your mindset. Stop thinking, what do I have to do to not screw up? And start thinking, how do I crush this? I'm going to crush this interview. How do I do that best? Do you see the flip there?
Yes.
All right. All right. So that's the first thing. Second thing, I want you to treat the Zoom interview, aside from the fact that it's on a video camera, like you're looking at each other via monitors, I want you to treat it just like you would any other interview, the way you look. So dress the way that you would dress if you were going in person. if you are more confident standing, which we know from research a lot of people are, even if you're not more confident standing, if you stand, it promotes better body language and posture, and you're more confident. So what you could do is, if you got a, if it's a function of putting the monitor or your computer up a little bit higher, and you're standing, right? And you have a better, more mm-hmm. confident posture. Now, they may only see you from the shoulder up. Doesn't matter. Nobody knows you're standing, okay? Other than maybe the vantage point on the wall. That's something I would consider. What's a confident posture for you? If you were sitting on a stage in front of 10,000 people, how would you sit? I'd think through stuff like this, because these are little things that if your body is comfortable and your mind is comfortable with how you're positioning your stature, your posture, these are little things that'll really help. And it kind of puts you in a really good light. And I would do all the eye contact. I will tell you one thing I found. I'm a supremely confident person, Susie. I'm very extroverted as well. But I found that when I was doing some of these Zoom things, when it was exploding during COVID, so we were doing more of it, I was in the office every day. We had people that were working from home because we were doing the show here every day. But I found that I was looking away from people. I don't know if you've experienced that, Susie. Have you experienced that when you're on these Zoom calls, you tend not to look at them in the eye?
I look at them in the eye on the screen, but it's not looking in the camera. So I'm not really, what's considered looking at them in the eye?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I would make eye contact on the screen. So you're not looking at the camera. You're looking at them in the eye, right? And
okay,
because I think if you do that, you get as close to the in-person interaction as you can. But what I was saying was I tend to look off the monitor. I found myself not looking into the camera or looking at them on the monitor. It was a weird dynamic. So what I learned about myself is, because I was doing one of my brand managers to me, when he goes, "What are you looking at?" And I was just looking off to the side, because I thought it was weird for some reason to be staring at him through a monitor. And that was, I don't know what it was. I'm not trying to analyze it. I'm just saying, you're going to read my How to Win the Interview guide, and I'm not going to break all that down. But I wanted to give you those couple things there that if you handle yourself that way with the physical posture stuff and looking them in the eye and lots of smiling, not over smiling, but lots of smiling, I think that's going to go well for you. Now, you're going to read the How to Win the Interview guide, okay? But let me just tell you what the formula is that you're going to read, all right? Because I want everybody else to hear this. Relentless preparation leads to reflexive performance. If you prepare the way that I'm going to tell you to prepare in that guide, which is the questions you will be asked, the questions that you should be asking, and if you're prepared and you have sat quietly and thought through what they might ask, how would you answer? If you want to practice some answers, do that. Whatever preparation makes you feel really good, do it three times more than you would. And that relentless preparation, Susie, you know what that does? You're going to be like an NFL quarterback who's done that 2-minute drill 100 times in practice and in the film room. And when it matters, everybody marvels at how cool and calm they are under pressure. And you're going to be the same way. Your brain is a supercomputer. So put the information in the computer that you need. And when it comes time, your brain will step up, even in the face of anxiety and being a little bit nervous. That's what I want you to do. But read the How to Win the Interview guide. It's free at KenColeman.com. She's going to do it. The rest of you need to do it as well. We've heard from a lot of people who said it made the difference. This is The Ken Coleman Show. What if you could be 100% confident that you're doing the right thing with your money? Well, folks, now you can with Ramsey Plus. We took our best tools and teaching and put them all together in one all-access membership. You'll learn the proven plan with Financial Peace University. You'll budget with the Every Dollar app, and you'll track your progress with the new Baby Steps app. Plus, you get a whole lot more. Go to KenColeman.com/plus and sign up for a free trial of Ramsey Plus today. That's KenColeman.com/plus. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you get clear on the age-old question every human being has wrestled with. Why am I here? What should I do with my life? Well, we believe that there is a direct connection from your purpose, which is why am I here, to your work. Now, it's not all about work. You're multidimensional people. And your identity should not be all around your work, but your calling and your purpose is inextricably tied to your work, what you do, your contribution. And we are thrilled to have you. We have a lot of resources. We're live on YouTube every day. If you want to search YouTube, The Ken Coleman Show, live streaming every day at 12 Eastern Time. And we also have the Work Matters podcast. It's a brand new podcast. It's called Work Matters. It's a short daily dose of hot topics and trends that affect you, the worker. That's why we call it Work Matters, right? It's actually very, very data-driven information, reports, trends, articles, things of that nature that make it a must-listen. It's growing like crazy. Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and make sure you rate and write a review. It's about, 4 to 5 minutes max, and it comes out every day. It's called Work Matters with Ken Coleman. Check it out. 844-747-2577. Mary Beth is up next in New York City. Mary Beth, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You bet. What's going on?
Wow. You give me a lot of hope, and you make me laugh.
Well, good.
In a good way.
Well, yeah. Hey, listen.
In a good way.
Even if you have to laugh at me, I'll take it, because, you know, laughter's good, you know? So I don't mind being, some material for you, but I appreciate that. You're very kind. Thank you.
I hear some things that are just, you know, just give me a lot of hope.
Yeah, good.
I will tell you, Ken, I am not fired up. And I am not filled up.
You're not what? Say that again.
Yep. Not fired up on Monday.
Okay.
Not filled up on Friday.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. Okay. Well, okay.
So that's what you were talking about on Monday.
You got it.
I wrote it down.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. true. So, why are you not fired up on Monday, and why are you not filled up on Friday?
Well, I have been working in the legal field probably since I'm 21. I've been working as a legal assistant, usually for pretty big positions, named partners and law firms. Right now, there are several people in our law firm that are furloughed because of the COVID. I'm one of them. And we're pushing into the fifth month. Mm. And I have been looking at positions. There's not a lot out there. It looks like the industry's changed a little bit.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, there's this hesitation on my part.
You know why? I think, I'm just curious. Do you know why there's hesitation? Is it because you're nervous about change in and of itself, or you're not sure what that dream is? If I could just snap my fingers and give it to you. What's causing that hesitation?
The hesitation is this job that I've been in, I was in it for 5 years, I really thought this was going to be the job that was going to get me to the next level. Mm-hmm. The next level meaning it's a small law firm. I wanted to get to a big law firm. I wanted to be earning good money, great benefits, polished environment, New York City. This is a smaller place in White Plains, New York. And that, I don't know, I didn't really push myself out because my daughter was in college and I was kind of fostering her dream.
Yeah.
And I really feel that as a parent, I've been fostering the dreams of my children, but I'm not really sure what my dream was.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when I got out of high school, I was interested in journalism. I was interested in art. My parents wanted me to be a nurse.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't want to be a nurse. So we couldn't agree on college, and I went to work.
Gotcha.
And when I went to work, I said, if I'm going to work in administration or secretarial work, I want to work somewhere where I have great benefits, where I enjoy what I'm doing. And so I had a profound respect for education, and that's how I ended up in the legal field.
Exactly. You just made the smartest, safest decision you could, given the fact that you didn't chase your heart. So my question is, suspend all of the how in the world would I get there, Ken? Am I too old? Am I not qualified enough? Suspend all of that stuff that we all deal with. And I know it's bouncing around in your head and heart a little bit. Do we go back to high school and get some clues there? Or if you truly suspend all disbelief right now, and I say, Mary Beth, what would you really love to do? We're not worried about the kids. The kids are fine. We're not worried about anybody. This would be work that you wouldn't believe you got to do and get paid for it. What would you do if you just threw an idea out the top of your heart? Stop thinking. Don't disqualify it. Just say, this is what I would do, Ken, or I would try it, knowing that I can't fail, and Ken, you'll give me another one if that doesn't work. Let's go fantasy right now. What would you do?
Well, I'd like to be able, I know I feel really suffocated working in an office. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to have something where I'd have like more freedom, maybe be able to work with people. I mean, one of the things you ask is, what do you do best? What do people say you do best?
And?
People say I'm a writer.
Yeah. Well, interestingly, that ties into the first thing that came out of your mouth when you took us back to what I believe is where all of this started to go wrong. And that is when your mom and dad discouraged you from doing, or at least pursuing and looking into what it would look like to be a journalist, because that's the writing component. You love words, yes or no?
I love words.
Yeah, you're good at it too. We know that. What words, how would you use words? Let's just say I gave you a fun gig tomorrow where you were writing. What would you write and who would you write it for? Say it.
Well, I've been through a lot in my life, so a lot of the writing I do is inspirational writing. Mm-hmm. And I've created gifts and just given it to people based on things they've gone through in their life.
Right.
So
would you write?
It's kind of difficult.
I get it, but you would write something along the lines of equipping and encouraging people that maybe have gone through some of the tough stuff you've gone through. Yes or no?
Correct.
All right. Now, so if that would be the dream, would that be the dream? I think it is. If you were a full-time writer and you were writing self-help books and you were speaking on that or whatever it is, that'd sound pretty good. Yes or no?
It probably would.
All right. You got to do some more investigation into that. Okay. Because what we got to figure out is if that is the dream, and we're not sure that it is, but let's just say it is, because here's where you are in the process. You just have to unlock your heart a little bit and go, I love writing. I love words. I have a real heart for people who have gone through, and you haven't told us your story yet. You haven't told us your backstory, but the challenges and the things that you've done to overcome those challenges. If you want to be a person who uses words, then I would tell you that the dream for you is somewhere in the space of using words, and you notice I'm being very unspecific right now, to mm-hmm. encourage and equip people to overcome the stuff that you've overcome. Now, how do we get there? So we got to back into that, right? So obviously we got COVID and furlough and all that stuff you're dealing with, but we want to get to a point where we go, okay, if you've got to have a day job, ideally the day job allows you to stay in the space where you are, using those communication skills, the verbal skills and things like that. And that's what you've been doing, education and the law and the love of education and legal work and all that stuff. The point is you may stay in the legal field for a while until you build up the platform or the message and the methodology that supports the message, and then you deliver that, you know, or you may just go 180 and kind of just work your way around and start to, in the New York area, who are the people I most want to help? I can't help them full-time right now, but I can help them part-time. How am I helping them? And in the process of helping those people that you're close to identifying, and you will identify if you keep looking, who are the people I want to help? What's the problem they have? What's the solution to their problem? And you get the answers to that. And here's what happens, Mary Beth. All types of possibilities as it relates to work to be able to help those folks begin to appear. And then we do the heart test, which one makes your heart come most alive. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Folks, the unemployment rate has skyrocketed, and because of that, the job market is more competitive now than ever before. If you've been laid off or you're just looking for a change, it's important that you're taking advantage of every tool out there to help you stand out in the hiring process. That's why I'm so excited to announce that my Get Hired digital course is on sale now. This is an online course with over an hour worth of video lessons that will walk you through how to stand out from the competition in your job search. We'll talk resumes, cover letters, preparing for interviews, and so much more. Plus, you'll get immediate access to my resume, how to win the interview, and how to follow up after the interview, plus career clarity. All of these are our Get Hired guides. All you need is a computer, tablet, or phone to watch, and you'll have access to unlimited replays of each lesson. If you're going to be looking for a job, you must do everything in your power to prepare, and this course will help you do just that. Go to kencoleman.com to buy the Get Hired digital course today. That's kencoleman.com. This is the Ken Coleman Show, helping you get unstuck, helping you get clear so you can get on the path to fulfilling your purpose. 844-747-2577, 844-747-2577. We have a free resource. We have tons of free resources at kencoleman.com, but our latest is the Career Clarity Guide. And this walks you through our first stage of the seven stages to meaningful work. Get clear. So it walks you through. You hear me do this with a lot of callers. We're going to help you with talent, passion, mission, help you figure out what those are. It's just a simple worksheet. And you may not get tons and tons of specific clarity, but it's really designed to help you get to a place where you could call the show, or as you're listening in, if you're afraid to call, and we get that. Some people are scared to death of that. You listen to other callers wrestle with it, and then you begin to see how it all comes together. So I'm really proud of it. The team has done a great job. It's a free resource. It's called the Career Clarity Guide. Go get it. kencoleman.com/clarity, or it's in our resources page. Let's go to Lisa, who joins us in Ontario, Canada. Lisa, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. It's good to talk to you.
Good to talk with you. How can I help?
I was just wondering if I could get your advice on how to go about asking for a raise.
All right. Well, the first thing is this. We don't want to go in and have a conversation that is completely around you just getting paid more, right? We just don't want that. We don't want to go in and go, hey, listen, it's been a while since I've had a raise. I feel like I'm doing a really good job. Can we talk about giving me a raise? And of course, you're not going to say it that way, but that's essentially what a lot of these conversations end up being. Is it's like a bunch of hemming and hawing and trying to make the case, and you're just dropping it on the leader. And here's the deal. If you don't have a long setup for this, it always puts your leader on the defensive. Whether or not you're attacking or not, it's just, hey, this is what I want. Tell me what you think. And there are a lot of factors that go into giving you a raise, depending on the company, and the different people that are involved. If it's just one person, maybe it's a lot simpler. But what we want to do is get your leader to a place where they feel like it's their idea. Make sense?
Yep.
So here's how we do it. I want you to talk to them about a growth plan. Do you have a current annual review that is a part of your office? Do they do an annual review where you sit down with your leader and go through your performance?
Yes, I do.
Okay. When was the last time you had that annual review?
I'm actually just coming off of mat leave, and so in Canada, we can have up to 18 months for a mat leave. So last time I actually sat down and had an annual review was almost 2 years ago.
Okay. Is there one scheduled in the months ahead?
Not anytime soon. I probably won't be scheduled to have one until closer to the end of the year.
Okay. All right. So that would be a good time to do it. Okay. You said you've been on leave for a while. Did I understand that correctly?
Yeah,
I certainly wouldn't ask for a raise within a month of coming back from a leave, right? That just doesn't make any sense to me. So I think what I would do is to say, hey, it's been 2 years since we had the annual review. When do you expect the next annual review to be? That's a straightforward question. And they'll tell you, right?
Right.
Okay. So if let's say it's a couple months from now, okay, 3-4 months. When you get into the annual review, this is when we do it. But the way we do it is we don't talk about a raise. What we talk about is a growth plan. So go through the normal annual review process, and because there's going to be some of this stuff in it that I'm about ready to talk about. And what I want you to do is go, listen, I want to grow here. And I know that the key to growth is me getting better. And so you don't have to answer it now. If you've got some answers, you've already shared some good constructive stuff here, but I'm curious, what are some things? So if they tell you some things you need to do better, you got those answers. But then what can you do? What would they suggest you do to become more valuable? Meaning, what is some growth? So I'm not fixing something that needs to be fixed. I'm adding something that doesn't exist. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what I would do. So you're saying, you know, in lieu of an annual review, I tell everybody to go in and say, let's talk about a growth plan. Hey, as my leader, I want to grow here. I want you to know that. And I'm very grateful for this opportunity. And I would love for your feedback. Can we work together to come up with a growth plan on paper? These are the things I need to fix. These are the things I need to add. And if I do these things, can we measure these things and stay in contact on this? And as I grow and develop and fix and add, obviously, I would love that to add to more responsibility and influence here. And of course, with added responsibility and influence, obviously I want to grow financially as well, not just professionally. When you couch it that way, I'm not trying to play semantics, Lisa, but what we are doing is we're getting the leader to buy into the growth plan. They help you create it. They're the ones essentially informing the growth plan. And it's logical that if you grow and add responsibility and influence, then your income should grow. If it doesn't, we know we're not in a good place. But what this does is it allows the leader to dictate and kind of guide the process, and it's how you bring up getting a raise as a part of growth. Does that make sense?
That makes sense, but could I kind of piggyback off of my
sure.
original question a little bit?
Yeah.
So I guess the reason why I was interested in asking for a raise is because when I was hired for this position, I ended up going above and beyond in a lot of different ways. So I was doing extra training. I was actually working in other departments, helping them with policies and procedures. And we're bringing on some big clients. And so I was part of creating the process for that. And they are, I'm going to be one of the main people heading up this development for bringing on these larger clients. And so when I had taken on all of this initial responsibility before I had left, I didn't have much of a pay increase then, and I was hoping to request it then, but then I ended up going off on my mat leave. So coming back, they have a plan for me now to, I mean, there are a few people in my position that are doing the same thing in terms of handling the larger cases, but they have a plan for me now to be learning a little bit more about the company, other systems, and bringing all of that information back to my current team. So I do think that I play, I think I play a significant role in this. I don't think I'm better than anyone else on the team. That's not what I'm trying to say.
No, but
you
have gotten so my advice is still the same. I didn't know that stuff that you told me. Okay. But,
right.
But the only change that makes is that you've already, been given more responsibility, right?
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. It's the same process. So now you're just going to go in and go, listen, hey, recently, obviously, I've been given a lot more responsibility. We've got some brand new clients in here and bigger opportunities and all this kind of stuff. And I'm taking it on. And with an increased responsibility, I'd love to know if we can talk about increased compensation. See, they've already given you the increased responsibility. So I think it's an easier conversation now. Make sense?
Okay.
But I don't want you to go in and go, go ahead.
I was going to say, you still think I should wait, though, until the end of the year to have that conversation?
No, because this responsibility is active, right? This is you just got back from your maternity leave. But the point is that they gave you all this new responsibility and you're lead on some pretty important initiatives. And there hasn't been conversation about compensation. I would just go, hey, are you open to having a conversation on it? I like that approach. It's a much more humble approach, but it's like, hey, with my increased responsibility, are you guys open to talking about coming up with a different comp plan? You know, based on how we do with this and measuring it, I definitely think it's easier to bring up now. So no, I would not wait.
Okay.
Am I right? Am I understanding that this correctly? I mean, this is new responsibility. Greater responsibility.
Right. Well, I've already had some responsibility before leaving. Now they're adding some.
That's what
more.
I'm saying. There's more. It's a greater responsibility.
Right.
And so I would say, hey, do you think this affects my comp plan? How could it affect it?
Okay.
Can we get creative on how we do it based on measured results? So I think everything I said is still true. It's just you get to fast forward to the second part of the conversation, which is I've already added more, and you guys have added more, and I'm excited about it. And I, with this increased responsibility, I'd love to talk with you and see if we can figure out a way to increase my compensation. So you're still bringing them into it. It needs to be their idea on how you do it. Good call. This is the Ken Coleman Show. You are joining a conversation about your purpose. How can you contribute to this world through your work? This is the Ken Coleman Show. Thrilled to have you with us. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Let's go to John next. Calling us from the Big Apple, New York City. John, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey there, Ken. How are you? What a privilege to be speaking to you this afternoon.
Thank you, John. I'm having a blast. What's going on?
Great. So I'm hoping you could help me here. Ultimately, I'm an experienced school administrator here in New York City with 17 years of teaching and administrative experience that's looking to change markets to move to the Fort Worth area where my wife is from. I've taken all your steps, loved the book, the proximity principle, and had a really successful interview season in that I was in front of decision makers but couldn't land the job. Mm-hmm. Just wanted to know if I could get any guidance from you on what my next steps could be in making this dream come true.
Reload, keep firing. That's your first step. You know, like, you know, it just hasn't worked out so far. So the first thing is you got to have the mindset that, you know what, I'm not going to quit. I'm experienced. I'm talented at this. I love this work. I'm trying to break into a new market, and it's going to take a little bit of extra time when you're moving from one city to another city where you don't have a base, right? You don't have your political base, if you will. Now, your wife's got some friends and family there, I would assume. But the first thing is you know what? You had a good round of interviews. It wasn't the right place. It wasn't the right time. Keep going. All right, that's first. Second thing is there anything that you have learned from that round of interviews that did not work out? Any takeaways?
Yeah, I would say the big takeaway is just being very present in that school system as much as I can, ultimately seeing the pulse of what's happening down there in Fort Worth.
Yeah.
Just to get a better tab and making my responses more relevant to the committee.
Gotcha. So, see, that to me, that just verifies what I said, which is the advantage that you don't have is that you're not local. You don't have proximity yet. So, one thing I would consider, and I'm not telling you to change your strategy, but one thing I would consider thinking about changing is if your wife can get a job in Fort Worth and you can get a job in Fort Worth, but it's not necessarily the administrative position. Maybe it's a teaching position. Maybe it's substitute teaching, and then you got another job. But you guys get yourself there, and you get yourself in the system. They go, oh, this is different. They're not experiencing you as a candidate. They're experiencing you as a real person who lives there, who has vast experience in school administration, and you are willing, so willing to do whatever it takes to get in there that you guys went ahead and moved down there and you're kind of in another role. That's something to consider. It's not something you have to do, but it's something that might very well work because of the, let's just be honest, the politics of proximity in education. Make sense?
Sure.
So if you're hearing from them or your takeaway is, I'm just not in, my question is, would it be easier for you to get in as a teacher than an administrator, or is it the same?
So So I spoke to several administrators there in the district, and the reality is they say, no, don't do that yet.
Okay, good. Good.
In that I just have too much to offer, and
yeah.
As them being current administrators, you know, want to make sure that I remain stimulated in what I do.
And I agree.
Teaching is wonderful, but just the vast experience I've had of being a school administrator at the district level, as well as the school-based level, and the largest school system in the country, just the fear might be, hey, might be taking a step back in a way that is unnecessary at this time.
Good. Well, that's you answered my idea then.
Mm. Yes.
So the point is, this is all about being patient. This is, you know what you got to do though? You got to up your game. This isn't just reaching out to people on a regular basis. This is maybe taking some trips down there, having coffees when you're there. You know what I mean? Like really, really picking out who are the 5 to 10 people that I need to be in pretty consistent communication with, so that when the opportunity opens up, they go, man, this guy's a rock star. We've just been waiting for the right thing. I think that's your approach. So really step up your relationship connections with some of those people you met with. Go to the next level, just like you would anybody else. Develop a relationship. Handwritten notes, emails, phone calls, more connections. Your wife, who does she know that could put you in touch with other people? You just got to step up your game, but the opportunity's coming. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Welcome back, America. You're listening to The Ken Coleman Show, where we help you figure out what you were born to do and then how to make it a reality. That's right. The dream job, it's still accessible. Coronavirus hasn't made your dream evaporate. It may have delayed it, but it's still there. I promise. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Cincinnati, Ohio. Abby joins us there. Abby, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. How are you?
Abby, I'm living the dream. What's going on with you?
So I am in search of a new job for several reasons. So my husband just started physician assistant school down in Tennessee. So I'm currently in Cincinnati, Ohio. So I've been looking for positions down there.
Hey, Abby, I'm so sorry. It sounds like it sounds like you're either in a wind tunnel or someone's running a vacuum behind you. has something changed?
Is that better?
Yeah, we'll keep going.
Sorry.
Yeah, okay. Well, no, don't worry about it. Keep going.
So I am looking for a new job because I have small children. My husband, we're living separately right now just because of the move and
sure.
the school. And then I actually recently just graduated with my master's in public health. So it seems like a good, you know, time to move. And with the small children, kind of the best situation would be a remote job or
okay.
something that I could work from home and kind of have a babysitter there.
Sure.
Wouldn't have to be away from the children as much.
Do you know what type of work that you want to do? Is it related to your master's degree in public health?
Yeah, so they're a lot of health education positions, insurance companies have a lot of them. Hospitals, I currently work.
So you've already identified these jobs in Nashville.
It's in Harrogate, Tennessee. It's about an hour from Knoxville.
Oh, I'm sorry, I misunderstood. Okay, got it. So in Tennessee, but you've identified these that are open.
Yeah.
Are any of them remote? Do they offer the opportunity in the job description or explain that it might be a remote possibility?
So one of them I just had an interview for, and they said that the position was filled. There's another position that's in Kentucky that's kind of close. And it, like the application doesn't say specifically where it would be located.
Gotcha.
So I don't know if there could be a possibility.
So what's your question for me? Is it how do I find remote work, or how do we navigate
so
this
question,
go ahead.
Yeah, so I've looked at your guides and all of that, and like how the resume is set up differently.
Yeah.
So I guess my question is, how, if I don't know anyone that works there, how do I set up my resume?
Ah, so you mean the who I know part.
Right.
Ah, gotcha. All right. So this takes a little bit of hustle. And if you can't make some type of connection, so you know somebody who knows somebody in the organization who would vouch for you. So let's just say somebody wanted to get hired on at Ramsey Solutions. Let's use that as an example. And they're in your situation, Abby, where they go, I don't know anybody personally that works at Ramsey Solutions. So my first piece of advice would be, well, do you know anybody who has a good relationship with somebody here? And if you were to say yes, then what we would do is we would want to get that mutual friend. And let's just say your friend's name is Sarah. And let's say Sarah calls a person that works here at Ramsey Solutions who she knows well. And she goes, let me tell you about my friend Abby. She's awesome. She tells a story and she says, listen, I've known Abby a long time. Abby's a rock star. I think she'd be a great cultural fit. There's no question she's qualified to do what she's interested in applying for. She's about ready to submit a resume. Based on my recommendation, would you want to get on the phone with her, talk to her a little bit, or would you be willing to vouch for her based on our relationship? And so that person would allow you, they would say, yeah, that's fine. And so that person that works at Ramsey Solutions would give you some type of an endorsement statement that would sound something like, hey, Abby and I have a mutual friend. I've been able to speak with Abby and I've heard great things from a person that I know very well and trust to the nth degree. That would be interesting, right? That would look good there. Now, if you don't know anybody, you can't get there. Now you're using the who you know section to be the most impressive list of endorsements you can get, okay? So let's say you know somebody in the Cincinnati area that runs a hospital, okay? Or is a doctor or somebody like that. Does that make sense so far? Do you know anybody like
right.
that? Know anybody
kind of,
that's
or like my boss has given, like my current boss has given me like a recommendation letter.
Yeah, great. So the idea is what we work with the who you know section up there is we want to draw connections so that they go, oh, Abby's not a complete just, you know, cold resume submission off the internet. And so if you know some people in the health field, so let's say you're applying for health companies, then ideally you're going to get some healthcare professionals who you do know, and they would endorse you and give you a two-sentence endorsement statement, okay? And so the who I know is still designed to make people go, huh? Because they've not seen resumes that look like ours, and it works. So you want that to be the first impression. When they read that, they're going, oh, this doctor said this. This healthcare professional said this. One of our actual employees said this. You know, that's what you're trying to do there. So there, I admit that there are times, even if you're just digging, that you're not going to find some connection. And so in that case, that's what you do. Good question. I've not answered that a lot on this program. 844-747-2577 is the number. 844-747-2577. All right. You can also engage with us on social media. All of our social media connections are at kencoleman.com. Facebook, just search Ken Coleman Show. Instagram is at Ken Coleman. Let's go to Steven, Facebook. He says, I had an opportunity with a Fortune 10 company, and it fell into my lap where I would make in 40 hours what it normally takes me 48 hours to make. Okay, along with an increase in responsibility, the ability to continue to use my clinical skills, career progression, and less chance of injury. Is it wise to take this chance right now? Yes. I have nothing to add to that. I mean, everything is in that list, folks. He's making more money, increase in responsibility, which means he's getting better, adding more experience and credibility to his quiver of arrows. And career progression. It sounds like it's a ladder for him. He can step up the ladder. So, yes. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Let me tell you what this question is coming from. In times of uncertain economic factors, right? And that's what we are. We are in an uncertain economic climate. Let's call it that. Even the most glaring opportunities are going to be met with a little bit of, oh, should I do this or not? And that's what he's doing here. And I love the question, but folks, just because we are in an uncertain economic climate doesn't mean you should think twice about a great opportunity. It's either great or not, Joe. And it doesn't matter what the climate is. Good climate, mediocre climate, awful climate. If the opportunity is great, take it. Now, one thing he could do in this situation is go a little bit deeper and let's do some research on the company. Do some research. See if the company is in healthy status. Like, is it in good shape? They run their cash well. You know, they got a good culture. You want to do some background checks, if you will, on the company. And so there might be a little bit of fear if he hasn't done that. But take all of those factors in the question, plus the fact that he does his homework and he finds out that it's a financially stable company and it's a healthy culture, then it's a great opportunity. Take it. My time's almost up, but before I let you go, you matter and you do have what it takes. Thank you so much for joining us. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.
Hey folks, I want you to check out our other Ramsey Network podcasts, such as the Entree Leadership Podcast with Alex Judd.
This is Alex Judd, host of the Entree Leadership Podcast. We're a community of leaders, by leaders, for leaders, committed to bringing you practical ways to grow yourself, your team, and your profits. Join us every week as we talk to entrepreneurs, CEOs, thought leaders, best-selling authors, and more to help you with your life and your business.
You can start your journey at entreeleadership.com/podcast. Or you can search Entree Leadership wherever you listen to podcasts.